Well, good morning. It is good to see these bright, beautiful, smiling faces today. So glad that you could be here. And we're so glad to have Effie's family down from Indianapolis. It's always a joy to see you guys and to see the kids. I was just kind of watching them this morning as they were in here being children. And what a joy, because they have so much happiness, they're so carefree, and you know, that's how God wants us to live our lives. God wants us to live our lives carefree and joyful, knowing that He is in control of everything. We have no reason to doubt. We have no reason to fear. We just have every reason to rejoice. And all I can say is for myself, is I choose to rejoice in the Lord because He has been good to me. And I want to say something really quick. I want to thank Keith and Nora Lee and their family, because the other night I got so blessed. When I left, I had so much joy after I had been really wanting to meet Gene so bad. And every time he'd been in the hospital, I'd go over and he'd be asleep. And I got that call the other night that he wanted to see me, and didn't take me long. I told Nora Lee, I said, well, I need to grab a quick bite to eat because I hadn't had supper yet, and I'll be right over. I was thinking it'd be a little while. It didn't take really too long. I was over. And I had the greatest joy getting to finally sit and talk to Gene for a few minutes. And he was a little tired, and we got to share. What a blessing. What a real blessing it was. And then this week also, I got to visit with Effie's nephew, Roy, who lives three or four driveways up that way. And again, what a joy. We talked about the Lord, and I want to share something with you. This is a man who's been through a lot of health struggles. And you know what he told me? He told me that his greatest love is the Lord. That was the greatest witness and testimony to me. And when I left the house, well, I stopped by the orchards and got some softball-sized peaches and stuff from Laura and Sarah. And then I got my two jars of stuff I was after. And I called Janine on the way home. I said, I've got to share this with you today. And I just started telling her what God had done through the visits and everything. And boy, my week has just been blessed. It really, and it's prepared me today for, I didn't have this sermon until yesterday evening. You know, I pray asking for sermons, ask the Lord to lay something on me. And there's probably going to be times that I'll never have something till I've got right in the pulpit and God has put something on me right then. Because I always want to share from the heart what the Lord's put on me, because we will get so much more out of it than if I stood up here and practiced and rehearsed and memorized something that wouldn't be that great. But this morning we're going on a treasure hunt. We're going on a treasure hunt. And boy, look at the smiles. The kids are like, oh, hey, we're going on a treasure hunt. All right. But I'm telling you what, we're going to hunt. We don't have to hunt far, and we don't have to look very hard for the greatest treasure. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 19 through 21. And I'd like to ask you to stand when you get there. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. This is some of my favorite scripture right here. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the reading of this word. Your word is so powerful. Your word is truth and life-giving. And Lord, I pray today as I preach this message, God, that you'll speak through me, Lord, that nothing will come from my own words or my flesh, but everything from you, Father. And God, help us, Lord, to seek the greatest treasure, which is you, Father. You have given us out of your bountiful blessings, Lord, and we have received so much. And let us open the eyes of our hearts that we can see through the Spirit what it is, Lord, you're trying to show us. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. So, I was thinking today about this, and I thought, wouldn't it be great? We call ourselves the Boskydale Buccaneers, and we're going on a treasure hunt. Make us sound like a bunch of swaddling pirates or something. But, you know, pirates go looking for one kind of treasure. But the treasure I want us to seek out this morning is from the scripture that I read today. In this world, people are going after the material possessions. They want the greatest of everything that the world has to offer. Have you thought about this for just a moment? What is the one thing that is presented to every human being that's alive on the face of this earth that has any understanding of financial matters? Money. Do you know that there are more commercials and there's more things that come in the mail to give people the opportunity to get a credit card so that they can do what? Spend. And you know what people do? That people will go out and they'll spend because they have this drive, they have this satisfaction that they're trying to achieve and obtain. And it's a longing that can never be satisfied and fulfilled. See, you can seek to have everything that this world has to offer, but all it gives you is emptiness. All it gives you is loneliness. I talked to a man a while back who had a lot of money. He had a beautiful wife. He had a nice home. He had a huge retirement. He had great kids that were blessed. And he told me, he said, you know what, Brother Jim, I've got all this stuff. But he said, right here, I'm miserable. He said, I wake up every morning so depressed that I'm not even happy with life anymore. He said, I wish there was something that could really satisfy the hunger that I have inside of my heart. And I said, there's only one thing that can satisfy that. And his name is Jesus. So, when we're searching for treasure, what are we searching for in this life? Are we searching for the things that the devil has placed before us to offer joy and satisfaction and contentment or to help us get what I say, get over the next hump in life? Or are we seeking the things of abundance that come from God? Everything that God has to offer is eternal. So when you compare these two things on a scale, the things that the world offers and the things that God offers, what God gives to us far outweighs the things of this world. So when we're looking for treasure, the first thing we need to be doing is we need to be digging into God's Word. John 5:39 says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." In our lives, our greatest treasure is found in the Word of God. This Word gives so much joy and so much power. It's life-giving. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. This is the greatest book that has ever been written because it is inspired by the author God. I have so many times been bored myself and I've sat and thought, well, what could I do today? What And then the Holy Spirit nudges at me and says, have you read your Bible yet? Have you gotten into God's Word? Have you studied what the Lord's wanting to say to you today? And it seems like every time when I open up, I've got a devotional book, and I just read the same pages day after day, year. You know, I like that devotional book. And do you know that every time I get into that devotional book, and I see something different, because I'm wanting God to work through me, I'm wanting God to show me, and I ask the Lord, strip back the layers of the flesh and let me see through the Spirit that I could receive from you the Word that you have for me. And every time I get into this Word and I read it, I see new things that are revealed to me, and it builds me up. It strengthens me. It girds me. And I know that when I get into this Word, that I know that God will start revealing the things that I've been looking for. But we have got to search for it. So see, when we get into God's Word, we can't just sit and read it and say, well, that was nice, and close the book and lay it aside. When we get into God's Word, we have got to get into the Scripture. So let's say, for instance, let's take verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. So we can't just read that. We have to see what it's meaning. The Word of God is telling us, don't put your eyes on the material possessions or the things that man has made, because one day it will all come to an end. I mean, the things of this world, they'll be burned up. They will no longer exist. But the Word of God, as you go on and read, it says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So when you're reading that Word, it's basically saying you need to sow and cultivate your heart in your life in the things of God, because when you get involved in the things of God, you are going to grow, you are going to be strengthened, you are going to be led, you are going to be nurtured. You are going to walk in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and He will abundantly bless your life. See, when we're girded in God's Word, when we are reading and staying in fellowship with the Lord, we have His blessings over us. Now, I told you this last week, we'll walk through difficult things in this world, but we are still blessed by God, and His hand is over us. And when we're walking through the difficult times of life, that we have the strength of the Lord to remind us. See, when we study the Word, we memorize it. God wants us to take His Word and put it into our hearts. God wants us to speak His Word, because when we take it in here and when we speak it out of our mouths, we are speaking God's Word in faith. And when God's Word goes forward from us, it never returns void. A seed has been planted, and God will cause that seed to be watered, and it will cause that seed to sprout and either grow something in our life or grow something in the life of the person or people that we have spoken to. When we look for the things of God, it is a lasting treasure. Verse 20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. We have to believe by faith, things of the Spirit. We have to believe by faith. Faith means that you trust God with everything. It means you don't doubt Him. Now, I want to go back to a story in the Bible that happened. Do you remember it's in Numbers chapter 13, and I encourage you to go and read it. Moses had sent out 12 spies to go into the land of Canaan, and he wanted those 12 spies to go and check out everything and bring back to him, you know, some kind of a report. And if you remember that Canaan was the land that God had promised them, and Canaan was a place that flowed with milk and honey, and you remember, if you read it, the 12 spies, they go out, and the Bible says that two men came back with the grapes. I forgot what they call a bunch of grapes. I'll just call them a bunch of grapes. And they were on a pole. They were so massive, and the pomegranates and the figs was nothing like they had ever seen. And the men were carrying this on a pole, and they came back to Moses, and they're telling Moses of the things that they had seen. They were telling him of the abundance of the land. But you know what also they said? Well, we can't really take or possess that land because there's giants there. We can't do this or that because of this situation. Have you ever seen that in the church or even in your own life? That God has promised us great things, that God wants to do things in us, but we have to believe by faith. But yet we stand back and we tell God, I know I could do that. I know that you want to bring me to a place where there's milk and honey and there's good things, Lord, but there's giants in my life. There are circumstances. There are events. There are weaknesses about me that keep me from doing what you want me to do. That's what we say a lot in our life. And when God was promising Moses and the Israelites the land of Canaan, he wasn't telling them to go look and check it out and then fear for what they saw. God wanted them to see that they could go into this land and that they could take it over because if God told them that this was for them, they knew they could take and possess the land and that nothing could stand in their way. So what I'm saying to you today is the things that God has promised you in your life, what He has promised in your Word, and how do you find out? You go and read about it. And what you read about, you say, Lord, I can do that. I can do that in my life because I am not afraid. I am not going to let circumstances, I am not going to let giants, I am not going to let anybody else's words interfere with what you want to do in my life. I've had people come to me, and I don't know how many churches I've walked into as a new pastor, and I've heard this from so many people, and sometimes I just want to pinch their lips together and just hold the mouth shut because they go, well, Brother Jim, you're coming in here. We hope you could be great like our last pastor was. And I'm going, excuse me? And this is what I've said. I've said it nicely and I've said it with love. I said, well, I'm sorry. I didn't come here to fill the last pastor's shoes, and I didn't come to fill the shoes of the pastor before him, and I didn't come to fill anybody else's shoes. I've told them, God has put me in a ministry, and He's given me my own shoes to walk in, and I want my shoes to be worthy of what I'm walking in. I don't want to live how I see life or what I think it should be. I don't want to preach the Word how I think it should be. God has presented it to me and said, this is what I want you to do. I don't want you to fear and be afraid, but I want you to walk by faith and not by sight. So when they went into the land of Canaan, they're walking by sight when they see the giants. Well, you know what? I know God sent me here for a reason. And I don't have to question God on it. I don't have to have a meeting with Him and say, well, okay, Lord, now this is kind of how I want things to be. Now bring your half to the table. No. I say, Lord, it's all You and none of me. Because I want to walk in the ways that You want me to walk. Now, having come into life and all this stuff, you know, I've faced a lot. I've had young men come to me and say, man, I want to be a pastor so bad. And I go, really? Are you sure? Well, yeah, all I have to do is get in the pulpit and preach on Sunday morning and Sunday night, or and lead Wednesday night Bible study. I'm going, oh, you don't know the half of it. Let's sit down and have a talk. But I don't try to discourage them. I'm wanting them to make sure that they are walking in faith with God. That what they are about to get into, that God has led them to this place. And if it is, then they're going to walk in the Lord's abundance. Now, I didn't know this till a couple weeks ago that Sarah was a first responder. I had no idea. You know, we can see people, we can look at people, and we never know really a lot. We never really know everything about them. And when I found out she was a first responder, my hat's off to her. I served in the role as an EMT paramedic when I was in college. And I've been on a lot of these calls where you don't know what you're walking into. But you know what? It's the heart and the determination of our first responders, of our EMTs, our firemen, our policemen. It's the heart. See, they're going into a situation that they are unaware of, but they're not going in there in fear. I'm sure that some, there's probably a little bit of, you know, but they don't look into the face of that fear and make it back them down. Could you imagine two firemen going up to a house on fire with their hose? They got their weapon. And can you imagine that they get up there and they see the flames and they go, oh, oh my, I can't do this. And then they take the hose and run back to the truck. Could you imagine what it would be like? Could you imagine the people's reactions if they saw the firemen run away from the fire? What I mean by saying that is, in the Christian life, you're going to come up to some fires, but God has given you the resources, the equipment, you've got the training, you've got the training manual here, the Bible, the Word of God, and we're supposed to take the Word of God and we're supposed to hide it in our heart so that we don't sin against the Lord, which means we take this Word very seriously. So when we approach the fires in this life, we are not going to drop the resources or the tools that God's given us and run away. But we are going to say, Lord, I have come to this, and we're going to do it. We're going to put these fires out. We're going to save this life, save that heart, because you are in control. You're leading us, and therefore we'll not be afraid. Now, I want to say something. The other night, Norley, I hope you don't mind me sharing this. Is it okay if I share something that Gene said to me? Okay, thank you. Gene, just me and him, sitting in that living room talking. This is what Gene said to me. He said, I want you to know I'm ready to go and I'm not afraid. That's the words came out of his mouth. I love to hear that. He wanted to talk. And we had the greatest talk. And I thank God that He put me there to fellowship with that man. I wasn't afraid. What would it have been like if I had gone into the house and said, oop, I don't know what to tell you, and left? He would have been scratching his head, and the family would have been going, what's wrong with this guy? But see, the Lord sent me. I went by faith, because I knew that I would be blessed. I knew that the Lord would take care of the situation. And I got a lot of hug. I love to hug. I do. I don't know about y'all, but I love to hug. Sometimes I don't hug because I'm not sure the other person, you know, I don't. So I'll shake a hand or pat on the back, whatever. It's okay. But I love to hug. And I got more hugs at night, but by so many people. I got some handshakes too. And man, when I left there, I was grinning from ear to ear. I think I'd take my smile and wrap it around my ears about 10 times because there wasn't enough room on my face to wrap it. But I had so much to talk about. See, that's the treasures I'm talking about. What we do for the Lord, it's stored up in heaven. It's something that we'll have great gain with. I told you before, I used to go after, I wanted all the things that the world had, because I thought it was great and wonderful. But when I go back and look at my life, how unhappy it was during those times, I don't want that again. What I want is the path that God has laid out before me. That's what I want. I don't want any other way. So, why should we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven? Because God's account is always accurate and God is always faithful. Everything God says, God is perfect. He makes no mistakes. We are not perfect. We will make mistakes. They always say preachers live in a glass house, and be careful. You never know who's going to throw a rock. I tell people, don't put me on a pedestal. Don't, please, because I am imperfect. I stand up here, I preach the Word because I know that's what the Lord wanted me to do. And I've tried to run away from it, and boy, has God ever rattled my cage. I've been through some deep waters. I felt like Jonah going into the belly of a fish, going, how did I get myself here, Lord? And the Lord said, because you wouldn't listen. You wouldn't listen. You know, the Israelites were going to be given Canaan, and they're letting their understanding cloud their own thinking, and they really weren't receiving because they weren't believing. They weren't taking God at His Word. If God tells you He's going to do something, He's going to do it. We have to disengage our brain and start thinking from the heart. Because what do we put in the heart? We put God's Word there. And what we put there and let out, it's going to produce an abundance. Now, I believe that this church house can be filled to capacity. I believe it. And I believe it's going to happen. Don't ever let anybody tell you because your church sits in that location or you have, you know, this kind of building or you've got that kind of music or you've got no center, whatever. You don't have a nursery. Well, you don't have this for our kids. Boo. I hear so much garbage. I'm like, you know what? Lay aside all that excuse and get into the house of God where you know He's wanting you to worship and quit saying to the church, well, what do you have to give to me and my family? You know what I always tell them? I've had people ask me this, what do you have to offer us? And I say, well, actually, what do you have to offer us? Because it's a two-way street. We live for the Lord, and as a church, you know, we give. We minister, disciple, train, preach, whatever, help people to grow and pray. But we want people to come here and we want people to give to the Lord. That's what we want. We want people to give their lives to the Lord and grow so that we can continue on witnessing to people and seeing people get saved and baptized. That's what it's all about. So where is your heart? Where is your heart? I want you, don't focus on nobody else. I want you to focus on you for a minute. Where is your heart? What are your goals? Are your goals to have a huge 401k? Are your goals to have a Bentley or a Rolls Royce in your garage, in one of your five-car garages? Is your goal to have a house made of granite and marble and a driveway of gold? Is your goal to have the highest paying job position? Is your goal to impress your neighbors or to impress the people in the church? Is your goal to be whatever of the world? I hope not. I hope that our goal is to serve the Lord no matter the cost. He'll take care of everything. He'll lead and He'll guide. And lastly, what is our attitude? Are we willing to say, Father, not my will, but Thy will be done? Is that what we're willing to say? You know, there's been so many times that I could have walked away from what the Lord wanted me to do. And boy, I felt so terrible for even thinking about it. And I didn't know what to expect. But I knew that the Lord had a plan. I knew that the Lord had a reason. And it wasn't for me to question. I remember back in 2020, before COVID hit, I was asked to drive all the way to Wayne City, Illinois. It was a 1 hour and 20 minute drive to go preach on Sundays up there. And we'd stay at the house of a deacon and his wife during the day and go preach at night. And I tell you, this is my first thought. Well, Lord, that's crazy. That's an hour and 20 minute drive. Do you know how much gas that is, God? You know what I sounded like? Jonah going, I'm not going to Nineveh to preach to those people. They're evil and rude. They're hateful. That's kind of what I sounded like. That's how I ended up in the belly of a fish. Or how I ended up in the positions I did. But I said, okay, I'm going to go. I don't care. And do you know that the Lord took care of so much? Now we did get loved on by people up there. And I was just going up there kind of as an interim. And we fell in love with so many people there at that church. And finally, they had a pastor coming later that year from Ohio that they'd already looked at. And all of a sudden, my heart started going, this is where I want to be. This is what I want. And you know what the Lord started dealing with me on? This ain't the place I have for you. And then I got greedy, and then I got stupid about it. And I said, fine, Lord, if that's how you want it to be, I just won't preach for a while. Well, I put myself in a bad spot. And my wife sat and told me one night, is this what you really want? Is this how you want to live for the Lord? It all come back to attitude. It all come back to, where was my heart? What was I seeking? Well, the Lord promised me Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey. There's giants there, but you know what I'm doing, folks? I'm going into that land and I'm taking everything that the Lord has promised me, and I won't be afraid. Will you join me in that? Are you ready to go on a treasure hunt and see? Yeah, Isaac says, yeah, he's ready. I tell you what, the purity of a child's heart, they are a blessing. So, if you are you ready to see the valuable things that God has for Boscadale Baptist Church? Are you ready to see the growth? Are you ready to see the opportunities? Are you ready to experience God in His fullness? I hope you are, because when we go seeking the right kind of treasure, we will live in abundance.